Today's audio cast for Monday, April 24th, 2006 is brought to you by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. The aviation world continues to mourn last week's loss of renowned test pilot Scott Crossfield, but details of the crash that killed him are slow to emerge, at least from official sources. However, Cox News Services is quoting a witness as saying he saw Crossfield's Cessna 210 get struck by lightning before it disappeared from view. That witness's impression that the engine quit on the aircraft is backed up by an account of one of his neighbors. And while it looks pretty likely that Crossfield's encounter with a thunderstorm led to the crash, at least one of his critics contends that pilot decision-making played a role. Chuck Yeager, who competed for speed records with Crossfield in the 1950s, told a South Carolina television station that the Crossfield he knew would push the weather and fly beyond his capabilities. There's still no word on funeral arrangements for Crossfield. There's been another twist in the tug-of-war between the FAA and the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. On Friday, NATCA boss John Carr wrote a polite letter to FAA Administrator Marion Blakey, formally requesting a resumption of talks. The letter came after the agency vehemently denied suggestions it was inviting NATCA back to the bargaining table. FAA spokesman Jeff Bazy told AvWeb Blakey will respond to Carr's letter, but hopes for a resumption of talks are slim at best.
The administrator from day one has agreed with the sentiment that a voluntary agreement would have been highly desirable. I mean, everyone worked hard to get there. It's worth pointing out that the FAA offered to negotiate around the clock and invited NATCA into mediation as early as November of 2005, and NATCA declined. While our teams ultimately agreed on most work rules during the 9 months of bargaining, fundamental issues that separated the parties in the end simply could not be resolved.
Bazy said the FAA appreciated the respectful tone of the letter, but added it misrepresented the final days of the negotiations.
In John Carr's letter, to be candid, he really mischaracterizes the final days of our mediation. Both sides agreed with the Federal Mediation Service that we were at impasse. Furthermore, even before impasse was agreed to, on March 31st, Mr. Carr issued a press release that was titled, "Negotiations Are Over, FAA Knows It."
Carr's news release went on to dismiss the April 5th session as nothing more than a technicality. Bazy wouldn't tell us exactly what Blakey's letter will say, but it should be publicly released sometime today. If you own an American-registered business jet, the Transportation Security Administration is recommending you keep a close eye on it. The TSA issued an alert later this week after an Arab web forum issued instructions to Muslims everywhere to destroy these types of aircraft. The web forum goes on to describe how to identify American aircraft and includes the N number of a plane it alleges is being used by the CIA to transport terror suspects to other countries for interrogations. Diamond Aircraft isn't letting any grass grow under the landing gear of its newest creation. Since its first flight last Tuesday, the single-engine D-Jet has flown three more times, once with Diamond President Christian Dries at the controls. In fact, Dries was the second person to fly the five-place aircraft, which is being dubbed a personal jet. Could all this activity mean the plane is being readied for public appearances this summer? We'll let you know. The maker of two types of emergency smoke hoods is recalling them all, saying they may not work when you need them most. Brookdale International Systems says the Evacuate and the Evacue Plus hoods might allow carbon monoxide in, thus hampering the pilot's ability to deal with an onboard fire. If you have one of these hoods, visit our website for links to information on how to get at least some of your money back. Refunds will be prorated based on the shelf life left on the hoods. And the FAA has asked for some special measures in the construction of an unusual house in ritzy Malibu, California. A local woman intends to build a house out of a decommissioned Boeing 747, and her architect is recommending that parts of the plane be strewn about the property. The FAA thinks that will look too much like a crash site, and it doesn't want pilots and passengers on passing aircraft to be alarmed. Just how that message is to be conveyed is a mystery to us, although a real estate trade journal says some sort of numeric code will be painted on the wings. And finally, how do you reboot your Airbus? The answer? Very quickly. Britain's Air Accidents Investigation Board has asked the airliner company to look into 6 incidents in which power has been lost to the cockpit on A320 series aircraft. The latest, last October over southern England, wiped out all but one of the flight and navigation screens, the autopilot, radio, and most of the cockpit lights. The crew was able to restore power in about 90 seconds, but Airbus has refined the emergency checklist to speed that up. It still doesn't know precisely why some of the gear failed. For more in-depth coverage on these and other stories, log on to www.avweb.com. And if you would like to comment on today's cast, please drop us a note to audionews@avweb.com. Today's audio cast was written by Russ Niles and brought to you by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. For more information, click on the audio cast sponsors link. Look for our next audio cast on Friday, April 28th. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.